Good afternoon, everyone. It is 2 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, May 7th, 2024. I would like to call the Ponce-Inlet Town Council to order. I would ask that everybody please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the record show that Vice Mayor Gary Smith is absent, and this absence is excused. The remaining council members are present in council chambers. Now, please all remember to complete the citizen participation request form if you wish to speak and provide it to our town clerk. Item number 4 on our agenda, are there any additions, corrections, or deletions to the April 18th, 2024 agenda?
Yep, none from staff.
Any from council? Seeing none, I move to adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. We are down to citizen participation, item 5. The public during this time has the opportunity to come to the podium. I ask you to please come up to the podium, speak clearly into the microphone, provide us with your name and your address. You have up to 5 minutes to speak on anything that is not on the agenda this evening. Mr. Hines. Hi, Tony.
Tony Hines, 4621 South Atlantic, 7703. A little confusing on what's on the agenda or not. I know the lieutenant is going to be speaking shortly. I just wanted to pass the observations on Beachside that there seems to be no difference in fireworks, New Year's Eve and 4th of July, since the sheriffs have taken over. It seems like there are more dogs on the beach than previously. And e-bikes are just barely worth talking about anymore. Almost every bike is an e-bike on the beach. Maybe the lieutenant can talk about some of that.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you. Mark Obeck is president of the Veterans Association.
Good afternoon, Council, and thank you for taking me off the golf course today. I thought I'd bring the town up to date on a couple special things that are happening, planned for the memorial. First, we believe that there needed to be a recognition of those men that ended up, through their efforts, made the memorial what it is today. To that end, and there's a picture of what we're doing, but here, if I can hold it, here is the plaque that will be inlaid into a piece of coquina that will be placed towards the south entrance of the memorial. And I think it speaks to really what their efforts were in getting this memorial a reality in this town. We plan to have it dedicated, or unveiled, I should say, this coming Veterans Day, which will be the 13th anniversary of the dedication of the memorial. So it'll be a special day for us. Secondly, as you may know, we have run out of pavers to the memorial and around the memorial. And yet we continue to see demand for pavers. So thanks to Joe DiCarlo, he came up with an idea that we talked about multiple meetings of the association and decided let's move forward with that. So what we're going to do is we are going to create off the southeast portion of the memorial, two walls of remembrance. Now, you see the pathway coming off the memorial, the existing memorial, and the pathway will be the broader line that you see there, the broader curvature that you see there. And then in the middle of the pathway is the tree, which will remain, so the pathway will go around the tree. Now, the two walls will have a black granite facing on it. And on that facing, people will be able to purchase 4x8 stainless steel plaques to be mounted on that facing. So it's really going to look very, very sharp, very sharp. And, of course, all the area around the new walls will be able to have pavers. So we took a quick estimate, and we'll probably be able to have 100-plus pavers, plus all the plaques on the wall, which, again, from an estimate standpoint, we're probably looking at, because we're going to do both sides of the wall with plaques, probably a couple hundred plaques on the wall. Those stainless steel plaques will last forever, forever. And then they'll be put in with stainless steel screws, and we're still working out the details. Robert Bullard is our engineer, and he's not here, which is unusual for him, but he definitely has a passion for this. And we've gotten to the point of testing the water table and leveling that's necessary for the monument, and he's in the process now of doing the actual design work associated with the memorial. Lastly, I hope everyone will be able to attend the memorial ceremony this coming Memorial Day. As you know, Deacon Stanza will not be our guest speaker. Our master of ceremonies. You're going to end up being stuck with me. And I just hope that you keep him in your prayers and thoughts. You may know he went back into the hospital and a couple more tumors were found, brain tumors. Our guest speaker will be Kevin Corella, again, who happens to be releasing, I believe, his fourth book. But, you know, he's a great motivational speaker, and it'll be a very special ceremony, as I think we all have gotten used to. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Craig Sandman.
Good afternoon. Craig Sandman, 37 Ocean Way Drive. I've been away for a few weeks, so I've sort of missed what's going on with Lighthouse Point Park and what's going on with the traffic. I don't know whether there's been a vote by Volusia County or not to take care of the entrance. But besides that, I've noticed in a couple of days I've been back that the trash cans were removed from the park about a month or 6 weeks ago, and they have not been replaced yet. When I've asked the county about it, they said, yes, they're waiting for new ones to be made by prisoners, and they haven't been made yet, but they were told to take the old ones out. So because of that, or in lieu of the new ones coming, people who are taking their trash are just throwing it on the side of the road inside the park. I've been picking up chicken bones. I've been picking up some extra dog poop. I've got a big dog, and I have to walk her twice a day. And a lot of trash. But now I've noticed the past couple of days, people don't find the trash cans, and as they're coming out of the park on Atlantic, they're just throwing the garbage on the side of the road on Atlantic and driving away. So if somebody has any pull to put even plastic cans there so people can throw their trash away, like we have on the beach, if they can throw the garbage away, maybe we can save some of that, and it'll stop me from picking up stuff. Right now, at this point, I've stopped today. I'm not walking my dog there anymore because she loves the chicken bones. There's nothing I can do about that.
Craig, thank you so much. I do believe we'll be able to reach out to the county on this, can't we, Mike?
Yeah, we sure can.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
And that's it. Thank
very
you.
Much. Amy Legere, am I pronouncing your last name? Thank you, please.
Amy Legere, 4525 South Atlantic Avenue, Unit 1403. I'm here as a designated observer for the League of Women Voters. I am also an invasives picker. We were working hard this morning.
Thank you so much for everything that you do in our town and for us. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, I have Mark Obeck again, but now in your capacity as the Vice President of the Community Center.
Thank you again. I thought I'd bring the town as a whole up to date on the Facebook situation. As you're aware, last month I spoke about the action that was taken against the community center's Facebook and identified that person or persons were clearly at fault for doing what they did. The next day, literally, an ex-trustee emailed the council and the town manager. They admitted taking the action and attempted to justify their actions. I won't go into the details of the email. I believe probably they're a matter of public record, that if anyone wants to look at the detail, they're welcome to, but I won't go into the detail. They seem to forget, though, that once you leave an organization, you have no authority whatsoever to take an action on behalf of that organization, regardless of whether or not you have the ability to take an action. That's ethics 101. It was amusing, that at the very end of their email, they actually asked for a formal apology. I found that disgusting, frankly, just plain disgusting. The good news is that thanks to actions by our mayor, that person transferred all ownership of that Facebook to Kim Canny, our president, and restored what appears to be at least the majority, if not all, the content. So we are absolutely pleased by that. The action did not rise, apparently, to that being criminal, and we understand and accept the town's position in not being able to take any actions. We have decided to do the same at this point, and as far as we're concerned, we're going to let it just die down. Now, speaking as an individual and not on the board of trustees, with every ounce of my body, and there are a lot there, I do believe in karma. And this person or persons will face that karma one way or another. On an unrelated topic, we have submitted a budget request to the town. We hope that the town looks at that budget request and helps us basically transform the appearance of the community center such that it is more appealing to those that might rent it and therefore create more revenue for us and therefore need to draw on town funds less. I think it's important for us to continue to look at the competition out there, which we do, and based on that competition and recommendations from a consultant who is a town resident who owned a landscaping company. The recommendations were very, very specific, and I have two pages of recommendations. And this landscaping piece is a major part of that, which will completely enhance the appearance of the community center. Thank you.
Thank you. And our last citizen participation request form is from Charles Burge.
Charles Burge, 4670 Links Village Drive, units B702, B502. Thank you for letting me speak. Specifically, I want to talk about my building, the Links South building. In the last 5 years, we've been in the news cycle three times. One was because the board discriminated against a disabled homeowner. The second time was a poor soul, depressed, committed suicide on the beach. Another time, the third time, not in sequential order, but a third time, one of our residents was shot dead in her bed. Due to the great police work of the Ponce Inlet Police Department and the Volusia County Sheriff, this person was apprehended, sent to court, and received 60 years in jail for the murder. So I would like to thank both police departments, and they're both here today, for their great work, expedient work on solving this murder, and really doing a great job in trying to keep us all safe. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Charles. Citizen participation is now closed. And we will now move on to item six, proclamations, presentations, and awards. First, the proclamations. The first proclamation is pursuant to the town charter, section 5.02, calling for the town's 2024 regular election. I will be reading this particular proclamation in its entirety. The second proclamation declares the week of June 3 through the 7th, 2024, as Code Enforcement Officers Appreciation Week. Both proclamations can be viewed at the Town Hall kiosk and the town's Facebook page. So, proclamation of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida. Whereas, pursuant to Article 3 of the Town Charter, regular elections are held according to the Volusia County Uniform Municipal Election Schedule for the selection of members to serve 2-year staggered terms on the Town Council. Now, therefore, I, Lois Peritsky, Mayor of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, do hereby proclaim the following. Section 1. The town's regular election will be held on Tuesday, August 20th, 2024, for the following positions on the town council for 2-year terms. Council member, seat number 2, presently held by William Bill Milano. Council member, seat 4, presently held by Joseph Joe Villanella. Any person who has been a resident of the town of Ponce Inlet for at least 12 months prior to filing and has been a registered voter of Volusia County for at least 12 months may become a candidate for nomination to the office of town council or mayor whenever he or she files a petition signed by 15 qualified electors of the town with the town clerk, requesting that said candidate's name be placed on the ballot in the ensuing election. Said candidate shall file with the town clerk all necessary forms as required by state law. Candidate qualification shall begin at 9 o'clock a.m. Monday, June 3rd, 2024, and continue until noon, Friday, June 14th, 2024. The required petition and other necessary forms may be obtained by contacting Kim Turbano, CMC, Town Clerk, at 386-236-2150 or kturbano at ponce-inlet.org. All voting equipment to be used in this election will be tested on Monday, July 22nd, 2024 at 9 o'clock a.m. at the Department of Elections Warehouse, 2560 West Highway 44, Building 14, DeLand, Florida, 32720. The public is invited to attend. Section 2. Electors must be registered with the Supervisor of Elections, Volusia County, Florida, by Monday, July 22, 2024, in order to vote in this election. Early voting will be held at the Supervisor of Elections Department, 1750 South Woodland Boulevard, DeLand, Florida, the Daytona Beach Regional Library, 105 Jackie Robinson Parkway, Daytona Beach, Florida, and the Lakeside Community Center, 1999 City Center Circle, Port Orange, Florida, Saturday, August 10th, 2024, through Saturday, August 17th, 2024, from 8 o'clock a.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. Absentee ballots for this election may be ordered for mailing from the Department of Elections until August 8th, 2024, but may be picked up through August 20th, 2024. All absentee ballots must be received by the Department of Elections by 7 o'clock p.m. on August 20th, 2024. Election Day in-person voting will be held on Tuesday, August 20th, 2024, from 7 o'clock a.m. until 7 o'clock p.m. at the Community Center, 4670 South Peninsula Drive, Ponce Inlet, Florida. In witness whereof, I hereunto set my hand and cause the seal of the town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, to be affixed this 7th day of May, 2024. Thank you, everyone. And now we move on to our beach safety report presented by Volusia Sheriff's Lieutenant Brian Cobb. And before Lieutenant Cobb begins, I would like to share with you a little of his background. And you will see how I did, how impressive his resume is, and how fortunate we are to have him here today, as well as having his leadership with the Volusia Sheriff's Office. Lieutenant Cobb's current position is the District 1 Assistant Commander, a lieutenant within the Volusia Sheriff's Office, and he has been in law enforcement for 18 and a half years. His area of responsibility is the entire beach side of Volusia County, and he is here to provide us with information relating to county law enforcement and Ponce Inlet, which includes our beaches. Lieutenant Cobb, please come to the podium, and thank you so much for being here, and we really do appreciate you taking the time to come to council and speak with our residents today.
Absolutely. What you just described is probably about the clearest picture I can paint as far as our area of responsibility here on Beachside. Upon the transition of beach safety, returning to a first responder, EMT, paramedic, life-saving organization, and the Sheriff's Office taking over law enforcement on the beach, it expanded our jurisdiction from not only our unincorporated beachside areas of Ormond-by-the-Sea, Wilbur-by-the-Sea, and Bethune, but also obviously took everything east of the seawall as well. So currently, I have a district that is comprised of 35 sworn law enforcement officers that work under me that patrol the beach side of unincorporated Volusia County to include the beach from Flagler all the way south down to Brevard, west to the river, and east to the ocean. That's the rank structure of the Volusia County Sheriff's Office over here on the east side. And it's my understanding that I'm here today to do more of answering questions than put on a presentation of what we're doing over here. So if that's okay with you, I can go ahead and kind of get to the concerns of this portion of the coast, and I'll do my best to answer these questions as clearly and concisely as possible.
We would certainly appreciate that. We'll start with our council and then move to the public and see where the time goes. So go ahead, Skip.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well.
I guess the first question I have is kind of a generic question, but it does have some meaning to it. Who enforces the laws?
Where?
On the beach.
The Volusia Sheriff's Office is the only entity on the beach that can make physical arrest. If we're using the term enforce, meaning we have the ability to write the citations and Correct. Make physical arrests, that would be the Volusia County Sheriff's Office.
Okay. Who's responsible for enforcing the ordinance, the county ordinances?
Volusia County Sheriff's Office as well. Again, when it relates to actually writing the physical citation and making a physical arrest, the only entity that can make arrest on the beach is the Volusia Sheriff's Office or any of the city PDs where the beach falls within their AOR.
Could beach safety, would they be responsible for enforcing the ordinance?
They are responsible for enforcing ordinances, yes, but they're not punitive enforcement. So beach safety would be regarded more as an educator. So beach safety's MOU specifically states that if they observe county ordinance violations, not Florida state statute violations,
correct,
only county ordinance violations,
right,
that beach safety is required to manage and maintain the beach's county ordinances through the efforts of educational enforcement. So to kind of outline it and give you a general idea, if you're at Blue Springs State Park and you have a fire where you're not supposed to have the fire, and the Blue Springs State Park rangers see that fire, they're going to say, hey, you can't have the fire here. You need to move it to a fire ring or wherever, and they're going to explain to you the rules. And if you so choose not to abide by that park rule, then FWC or the Volusia County Sheriff's Office will come in and deal with the violation and make the arrest or make write the citation or whatever that case may be. The beach falls under that similar guideline. So if they see a dog on the beach or they see people setting up between cars, through the MOU, they're supposed to be addressing those county ordinance violations by stopping and telling people that mostly are not from here or visit from out of the area that, hey, you can't set up here. This is the reason why. And typically you gain compliance just like we do when we hop out and tell people, hey, you can't do this. And so that's kind of the way the structure of the beach is supposed to run there. They're the fire first responder entity, lifeguards, EMTs, paramedics, and then they have an entire section that is dedicated to the conservation parking, county ordinance rule violations that are supposed to be telling people throughout the day you can't double park, you can't park past the CZ poles, you can't set up between cars, you can't have dogs on the beach. The day in and day out rules that are violated every single day on the beach, mm-hmm, that is a constantly, every day a new group of people show up and have to be taught the same rules over and over again. And then also, then you have the Volusia Sheriff's Office who's down there to also do that same thing, make those contacts with people, enlighten them on what the rules are and what they are not. And we also have the ability then to enforce it through county ordinance violation, right, citations, county ordinance violation arrest, or state statute arrest or trespasses or however it needs to be handled underneath state statute.
Right. And the reason for the audience, the reason I asked the question, because again, there is a big difference between laws, state laws, and Volusia County-led ordinances. So who has the responsibility to close the beaches when the capacity is full?
Beach safety.
Not the sheriff's office.
No, sir. Okay. So beach safety is the beach management entity. They open and close gates. They open the beach in the morning after the turtle patrol clears the conservation area since they first started the turtle season.
Most of the time.
They move traffic lanes to abide, mm-hmm, by the HCP. That all falls under their purview.
Right.
Certainly, any of my supervisors, any of my deputies can close gates, and we can do each and every one of those things, but it would only be under the circumstance when we have an incident like we had in New Smyrna Beach where a guy pulled a gun out on the beach in the crowd,
right,
and we have to close it down for a primary public safety issue, and we're apprehending a bad guy. Luckily, that doesn't occur very regularly on the beach, and it is not within our purview to simply manage beach traffic, open gates, close gates. That all falls underneath the county, the county council, and through the director of beach safety. And we assist them when necessary, mm-hmm, in achieving some of those goals, but that's primarily their function.
So would Ponce Inlet Police Department have any jurisdiction over closing the beaches?
And a simple answer is no. Again, Ponce Inlet Police Department could close it for a public safety reason. And there's always dialogue between myself, the chief, the director of beach safety. But as far as a simple, the beach needs closed because of a traffic concern, or the beach needs closed because somebody else thinks it's full, it's up to the on-duty beach sergeant and it's very subjective, right? There's no parking spots on the beach, so they traverse it, and they make decisions based on what they're seeing and observing each day to either open the beach, close the beach due to tide, due to capacity, or things of that nature, and it all falls underneath the director of beach safety.
Okay. As far as four-wheel drive cars only, and this is not a loaded question because this is exact example of something that happened a couple of weeks ago on Sunday. Four-wheel drive sign was out. A group of lowriders come in, from outside Volusia County, we'll say, and they said it was their right to get on the beach. The toll people said, you know, it's four-wheel drive only. You're going to get stuck. They didn't care. The first car goes over. First thing, gets off the pavement, goes straight to the ground.
Yes, sir.
Who should enforce four-wheel drive only if that is the sign that's out front?
So, unfortunately, the four-wheel drive only is not a county ordinance or state law. It's a suggestion. And many of people, obviously, your particular description doesn't take a genius to figure out that they're not four-wheel drive. But this is an issue not just in Ponce Inlet. This is an issue in New Smyrna Beach. This is a beachway issue. This is a shores issue. This is a Ormond and Granada issue. And what people do is they pull up. They see it's four-wheel drive only. Of course, there's not most of the four-wheel drive only ramps have less lines because most people don't want to get stuck and ruin their beach day.
Right.
And they try to slip in and they tell the attendant, hey, it's a four-wheel drive vehicle or it's whatever. At the face of it, it's not a violation. It's just a suggestion. And then what that does is it puts a bind in when they get stuck and they block up the ramps.
Right.
The solution to that is the toll attendants doing their very level best to ensure that people are turning around when they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. But toll attendants are not law enforcement. They're not beach safety and typically retired folks that are out there just trying to do the best they can to manage these people. So I'm not sure that I necessarily answered your question. Yeah. Enforce you going down a four-wheel drive only ramp when you don't have a four-wheel drive vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the flip side of that, the sheriff's office has a policy that says we're not towing vehicles. We don't remove vehicles from stuck sand. Beach Safety does not have that same policy. They allow their personnel to tow vehicles out of the sand and move them out of the way and things of that nature.
Yeah, and again, so to finish that story of what happened was, again, once that car was stuck, all the other cars were backed up on the ramp, which gets back in South Atlantic. We were backed up north and south on South Atlantic. Sergeant Rudd came over. He helped start clearing out the traffic. Him and I both had a discussion with the beach safety officer. In his exact words, I can't enforce that sign.
Right.
So when the beach is closed, they can enforce that sign, but not the sign for...
Well, when the beach is closed, like the gates are closed, the beach is closed. So you can't drive you can't get a car on there. And if they drive onto a closed beach, then it would... they're not taking tolls anymore and they're not getting on the beach. So we can enforce that. About the closest state statute that would maybe address a four-wheel drive only, and it certainly has not withstood the test of a courtroom, but maybe it would, it's only a traffic citation, would be the failure to abide by a traffic control device. But again, it's not really a traffic control device. I understand it turns into a traffic control issue.
Right.
But that particular sign is a suggestion.
Okay. All right, just a few more. And this gets back to the county ordinances, and I kind of chuckled when I actually got the news journal, and there was something in the news journal about the do's and don'ts of beach driving, so I did add that to my notes. The county requires people to drive with their headlights on.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't happen. Not happening right now. I can tell you I set out every Saturday, Sunday, it's not happening. So who would enforce that?
Us.
Okay.
We do.
Okay. It's not happening in Ponce Inlet.
Well, just like speeding still occurs.
Oh, no, I understand.
We're enforcing it.
I'm not arguing with you about that.
Yeah.
But I made a point once I read that article to watch last weekend. It wasn't happening. So anyway.
Well, we are the entity that enforces that. We are enforcing it. I can't dissect the numbers right here for you for the level of enforcement, but certainly I can do some follow up with you and notate where we are issuing citations for either the county ordinance for not having the lights on or traffic county ordinance or Florida state statute citation.
Okay, I'll skip through here pretty quick on some. You know, the speed limit 10 miles an hour. It seems awful fast down there. And my concern is, of course, people laying on the beach, but also the people in the toll booths, because there's a lot of times people are coming out of there hot. And I don't know if they think it's because it's the south turn of the old racetrack that makes them feel good.
I think that 10 miles an hour is mighty quick on a busy weekend, yes. And that is the speed limit. And, you know, I feel like even as much as I drive the beach and our deputies drive the beach, that you're kind of white-knuckling it at 10 miles an hour on a busy weekend. You know, it seems quick, but that is the rule on the beach. And we actually purchase special speed measurement devices, right, to capture that slow of a speed, because it's even slower than school speed zones, mm-hmm, in order to maintain the keep it as low as we possibly can. And then obviously the bigger hard packed areas of driving tends to create higher speeds, especially when the volume decreases. So we take the speed limit on the beach incredibly, we put a high emphasis on that, incredibly high emphasis actually. And we even utilize the reckless driving state statute for such a slow speed. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty extreme statute to use, but it can be articulated due to the level of crowds.
Right. I'm going to lump these two together to speed it up a little bit, but Tony actually mentioned it earlier, but I had it in my notes. Dogs on the beach, you know, in my opinion, it doesn't matter which side of this ordinance you're on, whether you're for it or against it.
Yep.
It is the ordinance. Since the dog park was opened up in Ormond Beach, we have been flooded, in my opinion, with dogs on the beach. The other piece to lump in with that, e-bikes, e-boards, motorized vehicles on the no-drive beach. And I watch them every day go right by beach safety, and nothing happens. And I'll make one statement. I did see a month ago a family was actually followed by a beach safety to get them off of the no-drive beach. So it does happen, but as the residents have already stated earlier,
yes,
it's out of control. It really is. And whether you're for it or against it, that's not my decision. But if it's a law, it needs to be enforced.
Can I speak on that for a moment?
Yeah, go ahead.
So dogs are – you couldn't have hit the nail on the head any better. It's a 50-50 split down the middle. Okay. Since January of this year, the sheriff's office has removed 66 dogs in January, 73 dogs in February, 100 dogs in March, and 153 dogs in April. And those stats were pulled just before the end of April. May will be even higher than that. We'll probably be well over 200 dogs. With that, beginning May 1st was the implementation of 2024 turtle season. And during turtle season, we take a zero-tolerance stance with dogs and writing citations. So just this past weekend, within the last two weekends, we've issued well over 30 to 35 dog citations up and down the beach. And the complaints are one for one. So I get a complaint that we're harassing dog owners on the beach, even though it's a violation of county ordinance. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people use the rouge of the ADA aspect of it. And then I get the exact same complaints of everyone saying that we don't do anything with dogs on the beach.
Right.
So, at this point, we're 12 months almost exactly into being over here. I would say by far the most political, heated, and controversial topic is dogs on the beach. For both sides, we deal with some people on the beach that when we write them citations or $50 citation for having their dog on the beach, which they know full and well they're not allowed to have, they behave like we're arresting them for a capital felony, to the point where they do nearly go to jail because of their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It really is it's something that it doesn't look nice on body worn camera footage when we're dealing with these people. And then the flip side of that, it doesn't look good on body-worn camera footage either when we have people screaming and yelling at us telling us that we are, you know, a terrible law enforcement agency because we let this person go with the dog when, whether it's right or wrong, it met the ADA requirement, you know. So dogs are a terribly challenging topic. It's not easy to enforce. It's not easy to not enforce. It's controlled by the federal government, and it's tedious, and we're only allowed to We can't get into the weeds on why it's a service dog or anything like that. And then with the implementation of the project phase. I don't know if it's going to stay in, but up at Rockefeller, that stretch there has thousands upon thousands of dogs, and there's been a petition up there started to eliminate this inaugural park that's not in one of two other designated areas. And then you have the same number of signatures wanting to make it bigger and expand it all the way to Granada. So, you know, really the answer from me is it's a county ordinance violation. We're going to continue to take our stance on, especially during conservation season, that it's as close to zero tolerance as we can get for such a minor violation. And we're going to continue to keep our stats on how many dogs we're removing from the beach and how many we're allowing to stay on the beach because of the ADA access. And if it's a law that is enforceable and it's a issue, then we're going to continue to enforce it. And if they lift the law, then we'll stop enforcing it, and so on and so forth. I stand very similarly with you. I don't really care what your opinion is on it, for or against. I just need the county to have a clear line and say, we're either going to allow it or we're not going to allow it, and then you're going to take heat on either side. And currently they're not allowing it. But it seems as though it's getting kind of segued into the beach, and it may become more and more they may take up more land of the beach before too long. I don't know.
So to clarify, beach safety could and should stop someone with a dog on the beach and an e-bike.
Yeah, not could. Beach safety is a beach management resource that is responsible for maintaining quality of life on the beach. Nothing changed in their mission besides the elimination of the ability to write a citation and make an arrest. They still provide life-saving services to the water. They still provide medical and first responder services to the patrons of the beach. And they still have an entire element of their organization that is mission specific to driving and parking and county ordinance education and things of that nature. If you see a lifeguard truck drive by a dog and not encounter it, I can't speak on an individual basis because I don't know exactly what they had going on. Maybe they were going to something else. Right. But I will say that it has been brought to my attention more than once that some beach safety personnel has been flagged down and asked to address this, and they've told them, no, that you have to call the sheriff's office. That part is not accurate. That's a completely inaccurate statement. You can call the sheriff's office, but you could call the sheriff's office for a lot of things.
Right.
Beach safety has the ability and the capability and the obligation to deal with these county ordinance violations. They just can't enforce them. They can't physically write the citation. But by overwhelming majority, the people that are down here on the beach that are violating it, well, let's take the dogs out of the picture and just set up and parking past the conservation poles and things of that nature. They typically either were inundated by too many signs, had four kids in the back that wanted to get out of the car, and just inadvertently violated the rule. And as soon as we ask them or anyone else asks them that's in a marked government vehicle, they simply say, yes, I'm so sorry, and they immediately fix the problem, right? The problem is we had 22,000 entries last weekend up and down the beach. So it's a lot of those little problems, and you got to just stay on top of them. In different areas of the county on the beach, beach safety does a better job staying on top of them. And they have some structural issues that they're working through that they're going to get through and they're going to get better. But you can, you know, educate anyone in your city and everybody that's here that when they are down on the beach that it's perfectly okay to flag down a lifeguard. It's perfectly okay to ask them to address a beach rule. And they should not be telling you to call a non-emergency number or call 911 for something very petty.
Okay. And thank you. That to me helped more than anything because, you know, our residents really want to be proactive.
Right.
And you can ask our police chief that we have most of the residents here in Pond Sinlet really support our police department, and we want to support beach safety. And I'll say this, in years past, we've had a great relationship with beach safety until they rotate them out of here. I think it was every 2 or 3 years down to New Smyrna, and they flip some more back up. But, you know, I think if we can, now that we understand that we can request things from beach safety, it will help us a lot. So
yeah, certainly. I mean, there's no reason why, and I can think of specifically, I don't think I'm confusing the two towns, but I believe I have two particular incidences from the past few months where you've had citizens down here that have flagged a lifeguard down, one at the tower and one driving by, and their response was both to call the sheriff's office.
Yes.
And like I said, that wouldn't be an acceptable response from one of my deputies. To if you have the ability to address something and you can address it in real time, it just needs to be addressed. And I know from their upper command staff that is their stance, but they are working through a significant transition. You have an acting director. They have a lot of things they're working through. But I do encourage you to powers knowledge, right? And it, you can say, like, no, I don't need to call the sheriff's office for this. Like, they're, can you just ask them to move, you know?
Lieutenant, if I may, you are quite a speaker. We are so appreciative. I had spoken with our manager about, and I was going to present to the council during comments that maybe you would consider coming to a town hall meeting where we would have a much wider audience and maybe even have some of the summer behind us so that you could provide us with how things looked, how things went, what you, you know, lessons learned, that kind of thing. Because I'm listening to this, and I'm most appreciative you've covered, it sounds as if you covered what I believe our residents were interested in, but I will give them a quick opportunity. And then I think we're going to have to continue this whole discussion. If I think we would like a town hall with this at some point.
I can certainly facilitate something towards the tail end of the summer, and it, you know, that'll give us a 2 full seasons on the beach where we can compare and contrast and see where the growth was and things of that nature.
Well, we would appreciate that. I just want to make sure before we let you go, though, is there anything that hasn't been covered that perhaps he can address?
Two questions.
Yeah.
Ticket takers. Do they have any responsibility of not allowing cars either in Lighthouse Park or on the Beach Street, do they have a responsibility to stop the cars and trucks that have dogs, animals, in those cars?
They have the responsibility of the toll taker is to say that this is a violation on the beach and you cannot go on the beach.
All right.
If they have a pass.
If they get on.
Yes.
Do they have a responsibility of contacting you
yes.
or the patrol?
Yes. So there's a lifeguard channels that are utilized that are talk around channels.
Well, I don't think they want to be confrontational. Is the reason why I asked
exactly.
Because 2 weeks ago I was walking on the beach and the dog dumped on the right there where the cars are parked off of Beach Street, and the only thing he did was throw sand over it. That's why I'm asking that question. It's a
yes,
specific
so they,
example.
They
Second question I have is. And I understand, so as long as they contact someone, which with a walkie-talkie, whatever the case may be, they could, because I would hate to be confrontational to someone in a car with a dog other than contacting someone to do their job and take care of it. The other thing is I know you patrol July 4th because I see you guys going down the 4th and New Year's. I think the question came up. Do you ever patrol the areas when the gates are closed?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Because that was the biggest question, was we've been having a lot of problem coming off of Calumet in the evening of dogs running on the beach between Calumet and I think it's the next one up is Glenview.
Yes.
And that was the question that I came from because it's become a regular thing.
Yeah, we've done, I don't know who sent me the complaint reference to the evening hour dog issues down here. But since I've gotten that email, we've run multiple proactive targeted enforcement for evening and early morning this past weekend, as well as staggered days throughout the week. You have a deputy that's down here at 6 a.m. before the beach opens and is looking for joggers and things
through,
of that nature.
Driving yeah. through. Okay.
So
well,
and that's
that was
that's
my
where,
two biggest things that kept. That, you know, I've been on that thing for like 24 years and. I've seen an influx. I mean, the county started the plan of the experiment up in Ormond Beach, and somehow the yeah. people here think the experiment is here also.
Well, if
so
I can, I know you're trying to get this to go along. If I can address two things, I'll keep it under 2 minutes.
Yes,
one is,
that's fine, and I know we have one resident, Kathy, who wants to ask you a question, and after that, I apologize. You're clearly a draw for the crowd.
So the one issue with the dogs is the county sends mixed messages, right? They they issue permits for these dog events with hundreds of dogs. They get on the beach for – there's one this weekend for Mother's Day, like Paws and Claws or something. Yes. I don't know. They do dog runs. And they open up these sections of the beaches that aren't normally dog beaches, and they allow this stuff to go on with these promoters, and it's via permit. Well, then the problem with that is we have 10,000 people that came from Orlando and out of state in the condos, and they're like – look at all these dogs on the beach. I can bring my dog on the beach. And then and that's how it spreads, right? Sure. It's monkey see, monkey do. They see dogs on the beach. They don't know it's a permitted event. So what I have pushed is to change the county ordinance for the permit to say that the promoter that is holding the permit is responsible to get those dogs off the beach at the conclusion of it, or we cite the promoter. And once we cite the promoter, you no longer can promote your event.
Oh.
Makes sense. that's where we're going with that to try to eliminate some of these things that are – people see it, they think it's okay, and then they do it, and then they find out it's not because of all this backstory.
Thank you.
Second thing, e-bikes, We did a PSA in February of this year. We did another PSA in March of this year, and we have taken the same stance on e-bikes we did last year. They are reckless on the beach. We're writing them for speeding. We're writing them for weaving in and out. We're writing them for being on the boardwalks. We had, I think, a 7 or 8 year old girl that was hit by one, damaged her ankle and her leg. We made an arrest on that. You know, we're doing our best. The e-bikes have far exceeded the capability of many riders, and we're doing our best to keep them at a slow enough speed to be safe. Again, there's thousands of them, and there's, you know, maybe 12 or 14 of my guys north to south at any given time. So we are working on it, and we're going to continue to work on it. And it's not going to fix it, but hopefully we can keep it at bay and keep them slowed down. And
thank you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Kathy, come on up here if you don't mind. Lieutenant, we appreciate you coming back here. Clearly, we want you. So thank you.
Kathleen Harvey, 41 Loggerhead. Okay, three topics that were not covered by you. Okay. One, is there
Kathy, speak into the mic. I can't.
Is there a regulation or restriction regarding enclosed tents or those little things that are on the beach?
Do you want to go over all three, and I'll answer all three?
Okay. Second, can we talk about fishing on the beach? I know that fishing is allowed. However, when it reaches capacity at the beach, there are so many families, so many children. These people come. Fishermen, and they're dropping their lines with live bait with these lines. It's really dangerous. And yet, if you say anything, it's not good. So I'd like you to discuss that a little bit. And then the other one, regarding the ESA or service animal. Okay. I was recently at a surgery center, and they posted a sign, service animals only enforced. Okay. So I talked to them about it. They do have a right to say, is that a service animal, a service animal? And if so, what is the service this animal provides? Because these emotional support animals that run around, it's my baby. No. I've been very uncomfortable at the beach seeing these gigantic dogs off leash. And they're telling me it's a service, and I'm not feeling it. Okay, so that's it.
Kathy, good questions. Thank you, Kathy.
And I'll try to be efficient. Anna,
yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, dogs, again, those are the two questions you're allowed. We can't go any farther than that. Federal government controls it. The problem is these people go online and they've educated themselves, and I'm not buying it either. Most of them aren't service dogs. They're not actual legitimate service dogs providing a service that does anything more than they get to bring their dog to the beach and hang out, which I guess as a service, it just doesn't fall within the guidelines of the federal law. But with anything, people that have such a passion on something, they'll figure out a way to exploit it. So I agree with you. You're not far off a point. We ask the questions. They answer them correctly, and we have to let them stay on the beach. Otherwise, we'd get sued out of business. I mean, and that's hard to do, but yeah. I mean, it would be a problem. Second thing, fishing. You hit some, like, lengthy topics here. Fishing's not as big of an issue here as it is in Bethune. I feel like we've fought fishing. We haven't fought it. There's a fight amongst pro-fisher and anti-fisher in Bethune that is as strong as the dog issue on the beach. Unfortunately, the state of Florida's recreational laws are put together by FWC. FWC's stance and the state of Florida's stance is they're not going to limit the recreational area of the beach just to bathing. The county ordinance can't supersede it, and they're not going to. So as long as they're not blood bathing with the swimmers around, and as long as, you know, they're not actively tossing hooks on people and doing completely reckless things, the beach is open to the fishermen just like it is to the bathers, and there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing FWC can do about it. What caused the problem down in Bethune is they were so passionate about it, they actually started harassing the fishermen, and that's a violation of Florida state statute. So I tell the people that aren't from here when they ask about the fishermen that are surf fishing, I just tell them, you know, be cautious or move down the beach or something of that nature, because the state's taken a very clear stance. They're not going to impede on the open waters of the state and minimize it just to bathing under any circumstance. And then the last, what was the first topic you brought up? I apologize.
Those little huts.
The tents. Okay, so we attempted last year to make a county ordinance that said you could have no fully enclosed apparatus on the beach. Due to the natures of crimes that occur inside there. It didn't pass, and that's not necessarily a good or bad thing. We've been very successful in eliminating the poor behavior that occurs inside of those things. And at the onset of last summer, it was predominantly the crime we were dealing with was drug usage, just inappropriate behavior in general, and things that were taking place inside these. That's why we pushed for it. We got a good handle on it, and most of the enclosed tents now are, they're not issues. We haven't seen an issue of anything substantial in quite a while. Not to say that it won't be, but we attempted to pass it. The county did not pass it, and this is now where we stand, is they can't have them enclosed. We obviously, it catches our eye. We monitor it closely to ensure it's being utilized by a family and being used appropriately, but it's not illegal.
Thank you so very much for coming. We really appreciate it, and we're going to make sure that you come back at a town hall where you'll have a significant, a wider audience and a lot more time, because there's a lot to go over, obviously. And if we can be of any help to you, you know, you just have to reach out to us. We're very appreciative of what you and all of the officers do on the beach. So thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And now what we have is we have a presentation by our legislative affairs, Andrew Khalil of Sunrise Consulting Group. We are all familiar with our town's lobbyist, and we're delighted to have you here to just share some updates with us from the most recent legislative legislative session. It's good to see you, Andrew. Thank you for being here.
It's good to see you too, Madam Mayor. Thank you for having me. Members of Town Council, thank you for having me. And further elaborating on that, thank you. Thank you for giving me the privilege and the honor to represent y'all in Tallahassee. I have really enjoyed it this past session. Working with Mayor Peritsky has truly been a treat. Town Manager, thank you as well. I want to compliment you and Dan throughout this session. Every time that I needed information from you guys, a form filled out, the turnaround time is quick and it's thorough. And so that goes very well appreciated. Are you controlling my power? Oh. So I want, obviously you guys hear a lot about legislative session, either from the mayor, from what you see from the Florida League of Cities, or also probably through your local delegation. I know Ponce Inlet specifically has a great and well-involved delegation between Representative Tremont and Senator Wright. Those offices, I'm sure, do a great job sharing things with you. We had a 60-day legislative session, and I used to work for somebody who was a former lieutenant governor, and he had a sign that said life, liberty, and happiness were okay when the legislature is not in session. And so it still feels like that. But they adjourned at the beginning of March. And for y'all that don't know, or maybe you do know, legislative session in Florida goes back and forth. So during 1 year, it's January, February, and the following year, it's April and May. So this year, we had a January, February. Next year, it will be March, January, February, and into the first week of March. Next year, it will be March, April, and into the first week of May, and then and back and forth. Almost 2,000 bills were filed, and 16.6% of those bills actually passed. So you see a lot of things get filed, and sometimes that's to just particularly make a statement at an issue, knowing that it may not ever pass. Sometimes bills get, you know, filed hoping they'll pass, and it sometimes takes 2 or 3 years to have a conversation before we finally get to a final product. That number, that 16.6% number, used to be a little bit lower because we used to consider appropriations projects the things that the town requests a bill. So we would file all these bills for a fire truck or for this or that, and so that made the volume of bills much higher. We did away with that. There was significant legislation that passed that I'm going to talk about things that affect local governments, but as you guys, I'm sure, have seen from the news, there's significant legislation that passed that pertains to social media and healthcare reform and education and things like that. So there were a lot of those things that get done and take a lot of legislative bandwidth. Of those 2,000 bills that were filed, I swear not 1,900 of them have something to do with local government in some form or fashion. I'm going to talk about the state budget a little.